Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Welcome back to Hour 3 of the Todd Albaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, wherever you are listening, be it the worldwide radio app at Civic Media. At civicmedia.com, at the Todd Albaugh Show on Facebook or Twitter. Or maybe you're listening to it the old-fashioned way, over terrestrial radio on our partner stations, our network stations, I should say, across the state, WRCE in Richland Center, WXCO in Wausau, Bull Falls Radio, and WXCE Amory Lake Air, wherever you are today in the state of Wisconsin. We welcome you in for our third hour. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we have our friend and colleague, Luke Mathers, who's operations director here at Civic Media and also co-host of Dueling Tangents at 2 o'clock right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. So Luke will begin to talk a little bit about his show, but also about his overall duties here at Civic Media and how that affects you in whatever station you were listening to is at, whether it's Amory, Wausau, or Richland Center. I think it's good to know, like, who is behind the mic, right? Well, Luke is on both sides of the mic, but he helps keep things going around here. And so kind of good to check in and give you a behind-the-scenes peek at Civic Media and the people that operate it and run it. And Luke is one of those fine people. So he will join us at 10:30. Also talk a little World Cup with him, just get an update there because he is a World Cup fanatic on that. We're going to give you a little bit of what you need to know for a Tuesday, November 22nd, 2022. Making headlines today in Colorado Springs, an Army vet, a fellow club goer, and a drag queen teamed up to take down the alleged Colorado Springs shooter that left 5 people dead and at least 16 injured over the weekend. All 3 are being called heroes by the Colorado Springs mayor. The United States could face a massive rail strike after all sides, or about 12 different unions, as I understand it, representing rail workers. They can't agree on paid sick leave. And this is something that seems a little bizarre to me, and I'm not an expert on this, but as I understand it, currently, most rail workers in the United States do not get paid sick leave. So like if you get sick, you can take off, but you're not going to get paid for it. I don't know any job in America, except maybe the rail workers, where if you're a full-time benefited employee, you don't get at least some kind of paid sick leave.
Yeah, that's kind of gross.
I mean, it's terrible. And this is a sticking and arguing point, apparently, that they're trying to work out. The rail workers have said they will at least continue bargaining in good faith into the first week of December to get us through the Thanksgiving travel holiday. But this could affect not only Amtrak, but, of course, freight. And if there's anything that we don't need right now in the U.S. economy, it's more of a delay in getting products to market. Already with COVID, problems there at point of origin in a lot of foreign countries. We have problems with shipping, and we have a problem with shipments getting bundled up or blocked up at the docks in the United States. And now, potentially, could have a rail strike to make it even harder to get things to market. We shall see. President Joe Biden pardoned the annual turkeys at the White House yesterday. Chocolate and Chip were given a pardon and sent to a children's petting zoo. So hopefully they have a very nice life there. In sports, the World Cup, Team USA and Wales played to a 1-1 draw yesterday. And the Milwaukee Bucks beat the Trailblazers 119-111. The Axe will be back in Madison, and hopefully it stays here as the Wisconsin Badger football team takes on the P.J. Flexner Golden Gophers of Minnesota at 2:30 in Camp Randall Stadium, and we will hope that they can win back Paul Bunyan's axe here on Saturday. A little bit of, I won't call it breaking news, but an update. We finally have an official projection in the Wisconsin Secretary of State's office, rather. Had a brain freeze, sorry. The Secretary of State's office. It was nip and tuck, tuck and nip. But at the end of the day, incumbent Democrat Doug LaFollette has been declared the winner of the Wisconsin Secretary of State's race over challenger Republican Amy Loudenbeck by some 7,000 votes. And let me say, to her credit, Republican Loudenbeck has conceded. And I'll also say the same thing to Tim Michaels, conceded in the governor's race, as did Mandela Barnes on the Democratic side. But there's been this propensity ever since Trump not to concede if you're a Republican and you lose. And that's one of the ways that democracy functions, you understand? And as someone, as I've said, I myself ran twice for state assembly on a Republican ticket, lost both times in the primary, and you concede. I mean, I've been there. It's not fun. Believe me, as a candidate, you feel worse for your friends and family that spent their summer and their fall campaigning for you, giving you money, taking time to help get you elected, and you feel like you let them down. You don't feel bad for yourself on election night when you lose. You feel bad for your supporters. So, but good on Amy Loudenbeck, good on Tim Michaels. They have conceded. Doug LaFollette will remain in office. He is a hunkerer. He knows how to, he is like a doe deer on the second weekend of gun deer season. He finds the political prickly ash and he hunkers down. Doug LaFollette. So congratulations, Doug, on getting reelected. When we come back, we'll take a little bit more look at the news. At 10:30, our friend Luke Mathers stops by to talk about civic media and about dueling tangents and about anything else. And we'll take your phone calls. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. The Todd Allball Show on a Tuesday morning. Welcome in. We appreciate being here with us on WRCE, WXCO, and WXCE, respectively, and on the Civic Media app. You can take us anywhere worldwide. Just go to the Civic Media app, download it from your favorite app store, go to other stations, and then scroll down to WRCE News in the center and stream live wherever you're at. You can also go to the Civic Media website and look at all of our shows online in podcast form and listen anytime that you so choose. Going to be a beautiful day across Wisconsin for a November day, that is. If you're going to be in RCO land in Richland Center, mostly cloudy, gradual clearing, and a high near 46 degrees today. Working our way up to Wausau, cloudy this morning, then gradual clearing, a high of 37. And in Amory, cloudy through mid-morning, and again clearing, and a high near 36. So temperatures in the upper 30s to upper 40s, depending upon if you're in the northern part of the state or the southern, wherever you're at, do so safely as you drive about. Perhaps you're getting an early start on your holiday weekend. Pardon me, I had to clear the throat there. Take a little drink and a little drink of water, a little drink of coffee, whatever your choice of beverage this morning. Turning to, and at 10:30, don't forget here in just a few minutes, 10:30, our friend Luke Mathers stops by to talk operations of civic media, what's new and happening, and how we're slowly improving things for your listening pleasure. And also talk a little bit about his show, Dueling Tangents, that can be heard right here on the Civic Media Network at 2 o'clock every afternoon. I want to turn to a story, though, before we get to Luke at the bottom of the hour. Pardon me. We're talking there before the break a little bit about the Wisconsin election and Doug LaFollette now, your declared winner, determined winner here in Wisconsin for Secretary of State, winning by about 7,000 votes. Also, of course, we have the final kind of big race yet to go in the midterm elections. It's going to happen in Georgia because, of course, the way their laws are set up there in Georgia, the winner has to get at least 50% plus one in order to be declared a winner. If you don't get 50% plus one, then you have a runoff and a runoff election between the two highest vote getters. So nobody, even though Raphael Warnock, the Democrat, beat Herschel Walker, the Republican, in the Senate race, it wasn't by the 50% plus one. So Georgia has to have a runoff election on December 6th. Now, in Georgia, they have early voting, which is allowed, on Saturdays, which is allowed. However, there's been some discrepancy going on down in Georgia. Interesting Associated Press story today entitled, Georgia Court Declines to Halt Saturday Early Runoff Voting. Dateline Atlanta, a Georgia appeals court ruling on Monday, means that counties can offer early voting this coming Saturday in the U.S. Senate runoff election between Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock and Republican Herschel Walker. The Court of Appeals declined a request by the state to stay a lower court's ruling that said state law allows early voting that day. So in other words, the Court of Appeals said, we're not going to change that lower court ruling. You have to allow voting on Saturday. Republican Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, remember him? Remember Brad Raffensperger? Name sounds familiar. He was the guy that Trump called and said, I need to find whatever number of votes it was, 11,000 votes. Yeah, I need you to find me these. Trying to get Raffensperger, a Republican, to throw the election in Georgia for Trump. Raffensperger said, not going to happen. Not going to do it. Not going to happen. And Trump didn't like that, of course, and declared all-out war. He was going to take Raffensperger out at the polls. Raffensperger survived a primary. His primary opponent was funded by Trump and Trump supporters, and then went on to win re-election. So Brad Raffensperger ain't going anywhere. He's here to stay. So Republican Secretary of State of Georgia, Brad Raffensperger, told county election officials that early voting could not be held that day because state law says it's illegal on a Saturday if there is a holiday on the Thursday or Friday preceding it. Do you get all that? It's a little confusing. But basically what they're saying there, Raffensperger, the Republican, says, no, we can't have the election. I mean, we can't have early voting on Saturday because there's a holiday on Thursday, which is Thanksgiving. Warnock's campaign, along with the Democratic Party of Georgia and the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, sued last week to challenge that guidance. Now, Thursday, as we all know, is Thanksgiving, and Friday is a state holiday. The Saturday following those two holidays is the only possibility for Saturday voting before next month's Senate runoff election between Warnock and Walker. A Fulton County Superior Court judge, Thomas Cox, on Friday issued an order siding with the Warnock campaign and the Democratic groups. He found that the law cited by the state regarding Saturday voting after a holiday does not apply to a runoff election. Lawyers for the state filed an appeal on Monday with the Georgia Court of Appeals. They asked the court to immediately stay or stop the lower court's ruling. They argued in a court filing that the ruling was erroneous for procedural reasons, but also that Cox was wrong to consider the runoff a separate type of election rather than a continuation of the general election. Now, wait a minute. You guys set the law up this way mainly to try and prevent minority candidates from winning. You wanted these runoffs. Very few places, like Wisconsin, you get the majority of the votes. Doesn't matter whether you get 50% or not, you are the winner. Bill Clinton, in 1992, he got elected with like 40-some percent of the vote nationwide because you had him, George Bush Sr., and Ross Perot. They split the vote three ways. Bill Clinton, in his first election, did not get a majority of votes. He got a majority of votes, but he did not get 50% or higher. Okay? So Georgia created these laws to say you have to get 50% or one to basically help prevent minority candidates from winning. But that's another story. So the court or the state created these laws. Now they're going back and say, well, not so fast. Because that the runoff election that we created isn't a separate election. It's an extension of the general election. That's what their argument was. In a one-sentence order on Monday, the Georgia Court of Appeals declined to say the lower to stay the lower court's ruling. Basically, the Georgia Court of Appeals said, no, not buying it. Just not buying it. It's not clear how many counties will open polling places for voting on Saturday. Warnock and Walker were forced into the December 6th runoff because neither won a majority in the midterm election last month. Now, here's the interesting kicker in all this that the AP story doesn't tell you. That the holiday, of course, Thursday is Thanksgiving. But the other holiday that Georgia Republicans were trying to use to say we can't have an election on Saturday or have voting on Saturday because there's a state holiday on Friday. A state holiday. Wonder what that state holiday could be the Friday after Thanksgiving. It's the birthday of Robert E. Lee, the leader of the Confederacy. Georgia still takes time off to honor the Confederacy. It is a state holiday. A state holiday. And now they're trying to use a Confederate holiday to deny a free and fair election on the Saturday after that to prevent somebody like Raphael Warnock from winning. And, you know, let's be honest. Both candidates are black, right? Raphael Warnock and Herschel Walker. So you have two black candidates, one of which is going to win. And we don't want to hold in Georgia an election day, early voting on the Saturday after Robert E. Lee, a Confederate soldier's birthday. Because we want to honor, you know, we got to take time to honor the Confederates. I'm so sick of hearing about Confederate holidays and honoring the Confederates. It was treasonous. It's the same mentality of people that attacked the Capitol on January 6th. It is treason. It is insurrection. And it should be called for what it is. So thank goodness that the Georgia Court of Appeals was more sensible and said, no, we're not going to go along with that. So early voting will in fact happen this Saturday in Georgia, at least at some polling places. We shall see what happens. Give me a call. Tell me your thoughts on this subject. 715-388-7155. Grab a pen and pencil and I will say it slower for you as I take a drink here. 715-388-7155. Again, the area code to call in and talk to us about anything if you want, toll free. 715-388-7155. Be interested to know what your take is on elections in Georgia or any of the subjects we talked about today. Or just tell us what you're doing for Thanksgiving. Tell us what kind of pie you're going to bake. See, that's what that would have been. Maybe we should do that segment tomorrow. Maybe we should call up my mom in Richland Center and find out what kind of, Letterman used to do this, right? Check in with his mom and find out what kind of pie she's going to bake for Thanksgiving. I have an idea, but you never know for sure. So I don't know. We might do that tomorrow on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We shall see. Coming up in our next segment here, your phone calls, if you want to call in. Again, 715-388-7155 if you want to let us know what you are was on your mind. We're also going to have Luke Mathers on the show as well. He is host of Dueling Tangents right here at 2 o'clock along with Brian Kelly, two fine gentlemen who not only are talented on the microphone and know what's up on the microphone, they are talented behind the microphone. They are a dual hitter type of player. They can hit from the left. They can hit from the right. They can play offense. They can play defense. They're the kind of guys you want on your team, and we're very happy and lucky to have them with us. So he is going to join us. He's not only going to tell us about his show and about a little bit about soccer, football, if you will. But also, we're going to ask him we're going to have him tell you. I kind of know what he does, but we're going to have him tell you what he does to help keep civic media going. And we'll take your phone calls if you want to call in and talk to either one of us. 715-388-7155. And we'll talk then. Also, a preview a little bit coming up at the top of the hour at 11 o'clock. Our good folks down in Waukesha, W-A-U-K, the Shaw, as they say. I'm not sure. Do they say that? I'll have to find it. People at Waukesha do say the Shaw. All right, very good. In the Shaw, Kristen Bry and her fine team, Jane among them, will be on at 11 o'clock with As Goes Wisconsin. Always a fine program from Kristen Bry and her team. She'll be on at high 11 o'clock. And then at 2 o'clock, Julian Tangents. At 3, don't miss Matt Flynn. At 4 o'clock, we got Crudy and Dom and the Devil's Advocate right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show. Aaron and I will be back with Luke. We're going to take a couple of minutes break. I'll be back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network. Over in Studio B, that is Zommers, Aaron Zommers, with the tunes for you today. Nice job, Aaron.
Yeah, it's I figured we'd get some football energy going.
Absolutely.
Is that Shakira?
It sure is.
All right, that's what I thought.
Beautiful. Shakira making a rare appearance on a Tuesday morning on the Todd Allball Show.
Not during the World Cup. I feel like there's probably plenty of places around the world that are listening
True.
To a little Shakira
but,
this morning.
But, you know, I'm not sure we ever played Shakira on the show here. But,
probably not.
But maybe we need more Shakira. That's what will boost our ratings.
Maybe that's what we need.
Welcome back to the show, Todd Allball, along with Mr. Zommers, and our fine guest, our fine colleague and co-host of Dueling Tangents here on the Civic Media Radio Network, Luke Mathers joins us. Luke, good morning.
Good morning, Todd. I see you got dual coffee cups going.
I am a big beverage person, and not just here, but like people make fun of me because like when I go to restaurants and like for a brunch,
yeah,
I like a glass of water to cleanse the palate, get things going. I like some orange juice, a cup of coffee if there's a good coffee place,
yeah,
a cup, and then like if I have like pancakes or French toast, I enjoy a glass of milk.
So four glasses at the brunch table.
I'm a multiple beverage kind of guy.
See, I'm definitely a water and another beverage type of person, but I don't know if I've ever had four beverages in front of me. So I appreciate the dueling coffee cups that you got going on.
Coffee and water.
There you go.
Anyway, that's low for me. And the other thing I should mention, like if it's brunch, if it's like a fancy brunch. Mm-hmm. Mimosa.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you said orange juice, I was kind of like, is it just orange juice? Who knows? But it depends, I guess, on who you're accompanying to brunch.
I mean, if it's just a friend or, you know, me and mom, we're just getting orange juice. Yeah. But like if it's a group or a celebration,
right,
a little mimosa.
This is a holiday maybe or something like that. And then
you know, Kenny Chesney on his tour, big Kenny Chesney fan, and they do mimosa Sundays. So, like when they're on tour, they get the crew together and they all have a mimosa. They call it. Maybe we should start doing that on our show, Luke. Every Friday, we'll have mimosa Fridays.
I like the sound of that. I would not argue or fight that one bit.
We'll be a guest here on mimosa Sundays or mimosa Fridays.
There we go.
We appreciate you coming in, Luke. A couple of things. First of all, those who might not always listen in the morning, of course, this time slot was held down very well by Pat Kreitlow for a while. Mm-hmm. He has now moved to 6 to 8 a.m., so I am in this time slot until 11, and then Matt Flynn is now on at 3 in the afternoon.
Correct.
On the Civic Media Radio Network. At 2, we have Dueling Tangents, and tell us a little bit about your show, how long it's been going, and what you guys usually talk about.
Yeah, so when I first started working here at the radio station in Madison, our kind of flagship station, if you want to refer to it as that, for Civic Media, I never once dreamed about getting behind the microphone.
Oh, really?
I joined as kind of a sales behind the scenes, office operations kind of guy. And
wow,
okay. And that's what I started as. And my parents had always joked, well, you got a voice for radio. You could do radio. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's not really why I got started with the station. I liked the mission. I liked being able to offer the alternative, mm-hmm. but never saw myself as quote unquote talent.
That's surprising because you're very good on the air.
I appreciate that. And I've been getting a lot of accolades and praise since I got started, and I shy away from a lot of that. I have a hard time hearing like good job and stuff like that. It's kind of like I like being behind the scenes. I do. I'm a kind of a trains run on time kind of person, and so for a really long time I was like, I don't really need to be out in front. I like making sure that everything's working. And then last October, we had an hour gap in the lineup for Devil Radio here in Madison. And Mike Crute, the station owner, kind of came to Brian and I and was like, well, what do you guys think about you doing an hour? And Brian and I had worked together for probably more than 2 years at that point. We had a good rapport and we kind of went back and forth. And we're like, us on the radio? Are you sure? And Brian had previously held down that time slot when it was a 2-3 slot that was filled out of WRRD in Milwaukee at the time. And so Brian had some experience being on the radio and doing his own show. And I was like, wait, you want me to do what for how long? And again, very familiar with the station, the operations, everything behind the scenes, but never saw myself. I had... when we left Milwaukee and RRD packed up shop, we at the time lost our news reader in Milwaukee. And so I had been doing the news reads here in Madison for probably the better part of 6 months and maybe 9 months before Mike approached. And so he thought that I was to the point where I was comfortable enough doing the recordings, doing a voice for radio. And he was like, yeah, you and Brian would be a great fit for this hour on Dueling Tangents. And so... we kind of started workshopping what we would talk about, like what we want to make a 1 hour radio show be about. And we kind of like the mindset of Seinfeld.
Okay.
Where it's a show about nothing. Because really there's so much that goes on behind the scenes that it's hard to try to pin down like a certain topic every single day to be able to be so in depth to talk about and make that the one forefront issue that that a show would focus on. And so Brian and I, we kind of, when it comes to our work, we tackle whatever comes in front of us. And so we kind of took the same approach to Dueling Tangents. And it's a show about nothing, but it's a show about everything that's in the headlines and a show about what's on our mind. And we know that a lot of things, that there's so many different trains of thought that it takes to be behind the scenes of the radio station. And there's a lot of trains of thought it comes to keeping up with the news. And we wanted to make those kind of fun and have an interesting way to relate some of these stories that you see without necessarily just being, oh, and on to this next thing that has nothing to do with this other thing. We try to relate them. And so that's the dueling tangents that are in our head all the times.
I think that's a key. One of the reasons I like listening to it, I think you guys do a great job.
Thank
you. It's very natural because, you know, having gotten to know you guys over the last 2 to 3 weeks a little bit, your personalities on the air are very similar to what they are off the air. And I think that's what makes the best broadcasting, whether it's radio or TV. If you're just yourself, most of the time, that comes through and the listeners get that. So I think that's one of the cool things about your show is it seems like you're just sitting down with two normal dudes discussing the day's news.
Yeah, I think the one thing that anybody could not claim that we are is scripted. So it's not like we're going behind the scenes and kind of talking through the entire 44 minutes of content that we have on the air for our 1 hour of radio. It's very much... well, this is what's going on in the world. This is what other people are seeing. And we're reacting to what we're seeing as well and trying to share our perspective. We take callers, so we get the caller's perspective on it as well. And we try to bring in relevant guests that can talk about the issues probably a little bit better than Brian and I can, because then when we need some expertise, we call on the guests to be able to provide that.
So people have asked me this question over the last couple of weeks as they've been kind enough to introduce me to Civic Media listeners. But tell us a little bit about what you did prior to joining Civic Media. What's your background?
Yeah, so I've been with Mike here at the radio station for about 3 years before. So it'll be 4 years this upcoming spring. And so before Civic Media, we launched this format on the station here in Madison, bringing back a format that was previously here, but through corporate ownership. And so before my time getting started in 2019 with Mike doing that, I was in a nonprofit organizing. So I worked for a nonprofit here in Madison that worked on public interest issues, environmental issues, kind of a range, again, kind of take the jack of all trades, master of none aspect, but worked on various public interest issues. And I did that for about 2.5 years, just shy of 3 years. And that's where I've got my experience in nonprofit work. And I really liked it. But at the same time, it was a lot of going through the motions sometimes it felt, and not necessarily being able to have the direct impact. Whereas local broadcasts, like, we have a very direct impact on what our listeners, what our guests, what our hosts can do in the political realm and just in the news and just day-to-day life of Wisconsinites. So the direct impact that I can have now here at the station, I think, is tenfold compared to what I was previously doing, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity.
Was there something directly that said, geez, I want to work in radio, whether it was behind the scenes originally or not, or was it just you met Crudy? And I mean, how did that connection happen?
It was a timing thing. I was wrapping up my time in the nonprofit sphere, and I had a friend who was like, hey, I know this guy that's looking for somebody to help him launch a radio station here in Madison. And at the time, 1580 AM was on the air, but we were Mike was in the process of building out the 92.7 FM signal. And so I had a conversation with Mike. He's like, oh, great. You're young. You're willing to kind of do whatever needs to get done. And that's how I got started here at TTN and now Civic Media as a whole.
So for people who don't maybe understand all the history and aren't kind of communication junkies or whatnot, mm-hmm. Who might be listening to Richland Center or Amory or Wausau or on the app, the Devil's Radio, the station here in Madison was Mike Crute's kind of baby project to bring progressive talk radio back to Madison, and that's kind of where you guys linked up. And then Sage Weil came into the picture this year, and so Mike Crute and Sage Weil joined forces to create the entity that is now Civic Media and has all these stations across the network.
Yeah, so quote unquote, however you want to refer to us, progressive news talk, independent news talk, liberal news, like there's many different ways that people outside of our organization will classify us as. The how it first started is in the early 2000s, 2003, 2004, 2005, Air America tried to do and replicate a leftist or lefty version of talk radio, and it didn't work out.
Right.
And so some of the legacy stations for this format around this station or around the nation folded, but some stayed. Chicago still has its, Minneapolis still has its. There's various pockets of similar programming that exist still out there. But as a behemoth that right-wing talk radio is, there's nothing on the opposite side to be able to counterbalance that. And so Madison had one of those legacy stations as well. But it was owned by a corporate media company who in 2016 decided to do away with the format. They flipped it onto Christmas music, and they said, "Well, we don't think that the market here in Madison wants that format anymore. Mm-hmm. Like we believe we could be more successful with a different format." And that was a business decision by those corporations that honestly don't exist. Like they're not here. They're not based in Madison.
Right.
They made those decisions from New York, California, Texas, wherever those decisions were made. And a lot of listeners here in Madison and the surrounding area still wanted the format. And right. So that was Mike's mission, was to bring it back. And there's been several different iterations. TTN here in Madison is the most successful that we've been able to do. And yes, about this time last year, Sage and Mike began working together and wanted to replicate something that we had been doing in the Milwaukee area, WRRD. Flipped off there, but we purchased the station in Waukesha and tried the format out in Waukesha again to return it, because Milwaukee is a very large city. Mm. It's a very large market. It's also one of the most conservative radio markets in the entire nation. It's got two competing, not left and right, but two right-wing leading stations that compete. And so Milwaukee is a very conservative radio market still because of the surrounding metro area. But we decided to not focus on necessarily Milwaukee and focus on Waukesha and the community there and bring local radio to Waukesha, which nobody does. Mm. There's not a Waukesha radio station before WAUK 540 AM turned on and started providing that Waukesha-centric programming. Mm. And so when we did it for Waukesha, we were like, well, this is something that we could keep doing in other communities around. It's not just Madison and Waukesha that are yearning for some kind of alternative to what they currently have for programming. And so from that, Civic Media came about, and It's been a marathon ever since.
It's been a marathon for you guys. I mean, I walked in and I saw the I'll call it the organized chaos at times, and it all works. And you guys are amazing, but it is fascinating and interesting how many stations that Civic Media has taken on and doing that. When we come back, we're going to talk to Luke a little bit about what he does in the program or in the operations director role to keep things working across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if we have time, maybe a little football as well.
Perfect.
Do you have an update for us? Argentina lost, right?
Argentina lost to Saudi Arabia this morning at 4 a.m. I was not awake for it, but I saw the headlines after the fact.
More with Luke Mathers and the Todd Allball Show. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
This time for Africa. This time for Africa. We're all Africa.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show for a Monday, Tuesday, the 22nd of November, 2022. A bit distracted. We're going to join once again our colleague here, Luke. Seinfeld reference. Sorry, I got it. Luke was saying that dueling tangents at 2 o'clock is kind of a Seinfeld-esque show about nothing, although he's being modest. It's a very good show about a lot.
Well, the premise that we put it together around is that it doesn't have to be a show about anything specific.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. But it's a great program. We'll talk to him more about that in a minute, and also his role here as operations director. But as Luke was talking about on the last segment, one of the reasons that Civic Media is putting this network together is to provide local news to our local communities. And we have breaking news at this hour we want to share with you. This via the Kenosha News right now, but breaking around the state. And this is not easy to read. I'll be very honest. As someone who grew up in Richland Center, the headline at this hour, UW System orders Richland Center campus to close next fall. This was posted about 20 minutes ago. Says the University of Wisconsin System is ordering UW-Platteville to shift its instructional programs away from its Richland Center campus starting next year as enrollment hits an all-time low. In a letter to UW-Platteville interim chancellor, the system president, Jay Rothman, outlined a four-step plan for the Richland Center campus, which includes moving all instructional programs to either the Platteville or Baraboo campuses for the fall of 2023 and developing a plan to, quote, maintain a suitable presence there through initiatives such as enrichment programs or courses for adult learners. The Richland Center campus has had an enrollment of only 60 students this fall, the smallest of all two-year branches, and has enrollment sharply plummeted since 2014, when there were 567 students there. In his letter, Rothman acknowledged UW-Platteville's, quote, good faith effort to stabilize enrollment at UW-Richland, noting those efforts have not worked. So again, breaking at this hour, Board of Regents has ordered the UW-Richland campus in Richland Center to close starting next fall. Luke, yeah, you probably know, this is personal to me because, A, I went there. That's my hometown. Mm-hmm. A, I went to UW-Richland. I'm an alum. But B, my grandmother started that campus. And she was the president of the Richland County Teachers College in Richland Center. It used to be in Wisconsin. You had these two-year teacher colleges that would help and educate people to become teachers.
Mm-hmm.
The Board of Regents back in the 60s decided to create these satellite campuses from the four-year schools that would be attached. And my grandmother shut down classes at the Teachers College of Richland Center and got a petition signed to encourage the Board of Regents to have one of those campuses be in Richland Center. They ultimately ended up doing that, and she became the first woman to be a dean of UW campus in the state of Wisconsin and was dean there until the early 80s. So literally helped found that campus and make it happen. And they recently celebrated 50 years of being an institution of higher education at Richland Center. So this is a big economic hit for the city of Richland Center and Richland County. It's a community I mean, there's beautiful buildings there. Who knows what's going to happen to those? So, again, breaking at this hour, according to the Kenosha News and other sources around the state, the UW system has ordered the Richland Center campus to close starting next fall. Again, Luke, this is why Civic Media is here.
Yeah.
People in Richland Center are fortunate that WRCO has been a radio station that got news out to the communities like this. Other places that Civic Media has acquired have not had the opportunity to do that. They've been, under, as you said, under corporate leadership or ownership.
Or we're purchasing stations that have been maybe silent or dormant for a little while. And so it's going to be a process. And our team is really... We're mission focused. We know what we're set out to do is to provide kind of a reclamation of talk radio and news talk radio here in Wisconsin. But we're not doing it just to do it. Like, we're doing it so that we can inform our neighbors and Wisconsinites as a whole that they can have something that's better than the nationalization that the right wing talk. There are local radical talkers on the airwaves here in Wisconsin too. But for a lot, like Rush Limbaugh owned the airwaves for, he was doing like 6 hours of content to a certain point there. Like, he would do his 3 hours of his show. And then once podcasts started becoming a thing, he would do like a podcast version too. And so like there are, And those areas are being filled by voids from not necessarily here in Wisconsin either. They're getting piped in, but there's just everything with radio right now. You can see this trend of national corporations buying them up, gutting the staff, and just turning on top 40 greatest hits, whatever you want to turn on to be able to crank out the ads. And so there's business models that show that could be profitable for these really large corporations. And we want to provide something different. We want to provide content and programming and advertising that invests in these communities, because if we're not having these conversations, if we're not talking about how education in the state has been really stifled by one political party as well, like as you pointed out, the decline of enrollment dropping in UW Richland Center around 2014, the attacks on education that the former Governor Scott Walker and his allies in the state legislature did for years have consequences. We hear all the time that elections have consequences. Your actions when you send public leaders to these positions, like governor, like in the state assembly, in the state senate, and they put out this thing, the rhetoric that is sometimes just dismissed because it's rhetoric. It's not all talk. It's just talk. It's not all action. But they acted on that as well. And we are seeing a historic low of investment in the UW system while we have $6.6 billion in surplus. And so Wisconsin taxpayers are having this money taken from them. We're paying our taxes. If you're a law-abiding citizen, you pay your taxes. And the state government is sitting on billions of dollars of those state taxes while institutions like UW Richland Center are forced to close their doors because they don't have the resources they need to be sustained. And so it's a part of the conversation that we have to have. We want to be able to offer this breaking news, but it's also, you have to connect them. And again, it gets back to dueling tangents. Things are all related, and you can have tangents off of them.
This didn't go where I thought it was going to go this morning, but it's a perfect
example
is a perfect example of dueling tangents of your show at 2 o'clock in the afternoon with Brian. And it's a perfect example of why Civic Media is here to bring news like this. We're going to be there to try to help our communities come together. I'm going to try to be out at Richland Center and talk to folks there. How does Richland Center move forward after the breaking news that UW Richland will close after this year and students will be moved to other campuses? Thanks for joining us, Luke. Have a great show this afternoon at 2 o'clock.
Thank you.
We'll talk more, have you back later on another show. Thank you for joining us. Hang in there, folks. We'll talk to you tomorrow on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Todd Allball. For our producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Yeah.